Well, I want us to just focus on this very short passage of scripture for a little while that we find in the book of 1 Chronicles, chapter 4, and verse 9 through to, well, it's just two verses, 9 through 10. Well, I read this week about a man who won $1 million in lotto, and he last week, I think, and he made the comment that he now felt very good, very satisfied with life. And I'm getting an echo here. We got an echo, Jim. You guys hear an echo? It's annoying me, my ear. Gone now? Thanks. And he also made the comment that he wasn't going to tell anyone else in his family that he'd won $1 million. He's going to keep it a secret. And because he said that if I tell my family, they'll all be turning up on my doorstep asking me for money. So he wasn't going to tell anybody about that. Well, when you think about what you might hope for in a new year and what you might dream for, maybe it's $1 million. I could think of quite a few things I could do with $1 million. In fact, I heard this week that someone in America won a lottery of $300 million, this US dollars. Helen and I started thinking about what we could do with $300 million, and we realized that we probably wouldn't live long enough to spend it all. Well, unless we bought a big airplane or we bought a whole town or something like that, we could start a commune or something, I don't know. But I'm sure, well, the guy that won that, he was on TV. You might have seen him last night on TV, and he was about, I don't know, in his late 60s or early 70s, and he'd had a bad heart, and he thought he was meant to be dead a few years ago, but now this is really going to make his life, you know. So as we begin a new year, I'm sure there are many things that we ponder what might be this year and what we might hope for, whether it is wealth or not, whether it is good health, or maybe just peace of mind, or maybe just a better year than what we've had this past year. What is it that we hope for? What is it that we dream for? Do we think about the future at all? Do we have hopes and dreams and aspirations at all? I know for many in the world that their hope and aspiration is simply to survive the day that they're living today, and tomorrow they haven't even thought about. Well, as we come to the text, we find a man called Jabez who dreamed about a new kind of life. Now, we don't know much about him. We know, we are told, that he's a descendant of the tribe of Judah. What's so significant about the tribe of Judah, ultimately? Anything? Huh? There's 12 tribes. Lily, you're a scholar. What's so special about the tribe of Judah? Any guesses? Jesus. Awesome. There you go. Another scholar. Jesus comes from the tribe of Judah. So it's significant when we think about Jabez. We don't know much about him. We know that's all we're told. What we do know about him personally is that he had a hard beginning to life. We're told that his mother bore him, gave birth to him in great pain. She had hard labor giving birth. She had a hard time giving birth to this Jabez. We're not, because was he a 10-pounder or whatever it was. She just really struggled to squeeze him out into the world. And so she gave him such pain. She named him "You're a Pain." That's his name. Poor guy. He probably went through life with everybody laughing. Oh, you're a pain, Jabez. And the teacher saying to him in class, "Jabez, stop being a pain." You know, you could just imagine what he would have had to put up with as a result of that name. He had a very kind mum. It does seem that also Jabez has a life that in some ways seems to be filled with a kind of misfortune, that his life doesn't seem to be going the way that he anticipated it might go. We're not told the details, but you kind of get the vibe out of the text that ever since his birth, Jabez has struggled with issues. He is what we may call one of life's battlers. Life, does it seems, has not been overly kind to Jabez. But there's more we are told about Jabez personally, and it's this. And this is when we really get down to who he was. We're told that he was a man who honored God. Whatever misfortune he had endured in his life, and even having to live life with such an unfortunate name, Jabez, it seems, never became bitter and twisted. He never, whatever else may have happened, somebody, either his mum or his dad, must have taught him about Jesus. And he loved the Lord. And through all his misfortune, Jabez, it seems, did not turn his back on the Lord. But we're told that he was more honorable than his brothers. Most likely that refers to the fact that he loved the Lord. He followed the way of the Lord out of love and concern for God. How do we know that? Well, we know it, and it's proven by the very strong and emphatic prayer that Jabez utters. What does the prayer say? Well, it varies a little according to your Bible translation, but we're told that Jabez cried out to the Lord. So here is Jabez. We don't know where he is, what he's doing on this day, but in some way, in some time, the Lord moved his heart to say, Lord, my life, I want to lay it before you, and I cry out to you about my life. Lord, I want you to work and to move in my life in this way, in these ways. Oh, Lord, he says, oh, that you would bless me. Oh, Lord, that you would enlarge my territory. Lord, let your hand be with me, and Lord, keep me from pain. That word pain comes up again. Lord, keep me from harm so that I might be free from pain. Poor Jabez got pain on his mind, hasn't he? Now, at first glance, this prayer seems to be the kind of prayer that is the opposite of what we might encourage people to pray. It seems at first glance to be what you might call a very self-centered prayer. Lord, here am I, poor Jabez, it's all about me. Lord, bless me. Lord, give me more land. Lord, I don't want to go through any more pain. Maybe it's not his mother now, maybe it's his wife giving him pain, or maybe it's his children. And he's saying, Lord, I just take that away. Don't just protect me from anything that's hurtful and stressful in life. Lord, will you do that? And so it does seem to be a prayer that is very much, you know, based around the man himself. Well, there's no doubt in my mind as I read this prayer, as I meditate and try to reflect on who Jabez may have been, that there is an element of that in this prayer. And may I say, that is not entirely wrong. It's not wrong. He prays for his borders to be enlarged. Is that material wealth? I don't know. He prays for strength to be able to just get on with life, to deal with all the ups and downs and ins and outs of daily life. That's not wrong in itself. And he prays that he would not suffer unduly. Well, I have to admit, those prayers have escaped my lips too from time to time. Haven't they? Yours as well, I'm sure. But when you understand who Jabez really is, of the tribe of Judah, and when you consider the times in which he lived, as I said earlier, possibly 450 to 400 AD, thereabouts, times when spiritual life in Israel was at quite a low ebb. This is a time of the exile into Persia. This is a time when the people of Israel largely were just caught up with their material well-being, and worship, the temple worship, had been in disrepair and disregard. People were not worshiping at the temple as they ought to be. They were not, remember Malachi, they were not tithing to the Lord as he was worthy of being tithed to. This was a time when people were pulling back from God, we would say. And so, this is what Ezra wants the people that he's writing Chronicles to understand. That here, in the midst of all of this kind of carry-on, at this time in the history of Israel, when things seem to be going all wrong, the church seems to be going pear-shaped, here is a man who pops up in the middle of this history, and who, from a right heart, seeks the Lord for the right things, and the Lord answers, the Lord responds greatly and graciously. And I believe that is because at the heart of this prayer, when you really examine it, understand who Jabez is, Jabez had in mind something much bigger than just a desire for his own personal life to be expanded and to become more wealthy and to be just protected from harm. I believe here that Jabez was dreaming, praying for the kingdom of God. He was, if you like, dreaming for Jesus. He was seeking for the greatness of the gospel to be made evident in Israel at this time. This request of Jabez is ultimately about the kingdom work of God, of Jesus on earth amongst his church, amongst his people, the people of Israel. Lord, bless me. Jabez seeks the presence and the glory of God to be effective in extending the borders of God's people. And you know, when it came to studying this passage, because Chronicles is such a big, big Bible book, and you've got 1st and 2nd Chronicles, when you go to the commentators, they have really nothing on this. They just say, oh, there's this man called Jabez. He was a good man. He prayed this, and God blessed him. Next verse. They tell you what you already know. So I thought, well, what am I going to do to try and understand? How am I going to really find out what Jabez is really on about? So I looked up to my top shelf, and up there I've got Matthew Henry. And I don't actually pull Matthew Henry down very often, except when I'm really, really struggling for some help. Yeah, and it's a really old volume. It's got that old smell, the smell of a really old book, and it's got writing that big, and it's really hard to read. So I pulled out Matthew Henry, and I open it up at this passage, and it's all in Roman numerals, and I really struggle once I get about the number 10, you know, to find the right page and chapter. And turn to chapter 4, and I turn up here on Jabez, and whoa, Matthew Henry's got 3 columns on Jabez, and I go, I'm there. But it's not quite that simple. But I do believe our dear brother Puritan Matthew Henry hits the nail on the head when his thoughts lined up with mine. I was so happy because I thought, if he says anything different, I can't do this sermon on Sunday. But he says the same thing of what I've written down. I was so excited because he says the same thing, that this man is a man with a kingdom vision. This man is not just looking in the mirror and saying, my life is a life of pain, Lord, bless me. He's actually got he's got a big map before him, and he's looking at the whole work of God and in the life of Israel at the time, and he's saying, Lord, things are not happening here. Lord, things are not the way that they ought to be with your people. Lord, enlarge my territory. My vision, Lord, is to see your kingdom and to see your work mighty and powerful in Israel, but I don't see it. Lord, enlarge my borders, enlarge the scope of my influence and my work here amongst the people of Israel, your people. And Lord, you bless me. by equipping me with the necessary gifts and power and abilities to go do your work, to enlarge your borders here in Israel. And Lord, I know there's going to be opposition. I know that there's going to be trouble. And Lord, I've had a life of pain, and I've had a life that's been difficult. Lord, when I go to do this work, can you please make that smooth the pathway for me? Lord, if you don't go with me to do this work before me, then there's no hope of me being able to do it, because I'll be smothered by issues, by opposition, by criticism, by people who do not have the same vision for your work. And so, Lord, keep me from harm, keep me from pain as I go to do this work. You know, this prayer in many ways, and I try to think, you know, what is this prayer? Does it have any other reflections in Scripture? This is a Bible study principle. Nothing in the Bible is isolated. Remember, as we noted when we studied Revelation, is isolated from any other scripture. Nothing is just there. And that's the danger when a lot of people come to the prayer of Jabez. They just pluck it out of nowhere and they just bring it up right here into New Zealand in the 21st century, and they go, well, that's for me and that's for me, and God wants me to do this and this and this, without actually going back and say, well, does it link up anywhere else in Scripture? Well, if we go back to Genesis chapter 12, and God's call to Abraham, the Lord said to Abraham, leave your country, your people, and your father's household, and go to the land I will show you. And I will make you a great nation, and I will, what does he say? I will bless you. That's right, I'll bless you. See, God wanted to bless his people Israel in their land, under his kingdom rule, for his glory and for the gospel in the whole earth. And we forget about that sometimes. He says, I will bless you, I'll make your name great, and you will be a blessing, and I'll bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse, and all peoples of the earth will be blessed through you. That's the covenant promise to Israel. Jabez is simply reflecting his understanding of the covenant promises to the people of Israel. And so, as I say, he looks around, he goes, this is not happening. Lord, can we go back? Can we go back and remember the things that were promised to us? Lord, now, for me, will you do that for me? Lord, my vision is to see your gospel. I've got a great vision for the gospel and for your work here in Israel. Lord, will you come back? Will you come back and help me in my vision for that? Will you equip me to advance the gospel? Will you enable me and strengthen me to do your will? You see, so crucial here that Jabez cries out to the God of Israel. Jabez cried out to the covenant God, the God of Israel, the God who had come before and said to the people, I will bless, I will lead you to your own nation, I will be your God, I will protect you. Don't worship idols. Don't get caught up with the pagans who will take you away from my gospel, my grace. Don't do that. The God of Israel. Jabez did not just pray to a God who is hiding out there in creation somewhere, hoping that God would sort of in some lucky way respond to what he was asking for. He prayed specifically to the covenant God of promise. I heard a story this week of a man who was an alcoholic and he came to his senses one day when he gave his 6-month-old little baby a bit of a beating, and he realized his wife basically said, you get out. And he thought, well, what am I going to do? So he wasn't a Christian at this stage in his life. And he thought, well, I'll go to the AA meeting, Alcoholics Anonymous. Now, I don't know much about them, but I do believe in the old days he used to pray to God. Is that right? Way back, quite a long time ago. But nowadays, they don't. And they told him, they said, when he went to the meeting, and he said when he used to go to the meetings, he would say to the people, you know what, I hate you all. I can't stand you. I don't want to be here. It's all a load of rubbish. I'm only here because I have to be here. So he said he was very honest with his fellow AA members. Must have been really encouraging for him, but he said they used to just pat him on the head and say, well, come back again. But they used to say to him, "You got a problem. We can't fix it. You can't fix it. Get down on your knees and just pray to whatever or whoever you believe is bigger than you." So he said, "I used to get down on my knees and there'd be nothing. I couldn't pray." He said, "Because I couldn't think of anything bigger than myself. Because, you know, when you have something like alcoholism, you're the God, or it's the God. That's the big thing." And so he said he went for months and months struggling. They'd say to him, "Get out on your knees." So they'd all get down. They'd all burble away to whatever God it was out there in the world that was some power, whether seen or unseen. And he couldn't. And I believe because God had his hand on that man, he is showing that man there is nothing else. Because that man finally did come to the Lord. And I listened to his talk on the radio. He has some wonderful quotes about children, by the way, but we won't get sidetracked with that right now. But Jabez, you see, cries out to the God, the covenant God. Jabez has got a dream. What's he going to do with that dream? Struggle with it himself. He clearly is struggling with it himself. But he knows there's somewhere he can go with that dream, with that vision, and that is to the one who has revealed himself to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, the one who has made a covenant promise to bring a Savior into the world and to restore his kingdom of glory on earth fully and finally. You see, overall, Jabez's prayer is a great prayer of vision for the work of the Lord and the encouragement to do the work of the Lord. He can see what needs to be done. He can see the needs in Israel. But he prays that his ability to pursue that vision by the mighty hand and gracious hand of God. His prayer is, "Lord, keep showing me, and Lord, use me by your power." Well, I asked you earlier, what are your dreams for 2011? For some of us, 2010 was just a dream. It just gone so fast. But as we dream, I believe as Christians, we too are called to dream for the kingdom. For the kingdom work of God on earth. And especially where he has put us. In whatever community, whatever nation, whatever town, whatever community. We are called to dream for the kingdom and then to seek the ability to pursue that dream. Dreams for yourself and for your own self-development are not wrong. And as I said earlier, there'd be some who would preach on this text and they would say to you, "God wants you to be more wealthy. God wants you to be more healthy." Joel Osteen would preach on that, okay? You see him on TV. He would be having a ball of a time with a text like this with you. And you'd probably all be lifted 3 feet off your seats feeling so much better than what you will be by looking at it from this point of view. I could even, as I said, individualize this text for you and say that this prayer is about what God might be able to do for you personally this year. And there may well be a part of that. It may well be that God will bless you out of grace in whatever it is that you do in your private life. Indeed, James reminds us that God is the giver of every good and perfect gift. And he also says if we want something and we don't ask for it, then we're not going to get it, are we? So there is an element of that in it, and as I said earlier, it's not totally wrong to use this prayer to pray for your personal circumstances, not forbidding that at all. But the bigger picture is that Jabez's prayers for God to work in him for the good of the people of Israel. And so here is our challenge for 2011. Here is what our dream should be. Lord, will you bless me with spiritual blessings from heaven so that I can enlarge my territory, my area of influence here in amongst your people for your kingdom and for your glory and for the gospel and for Jesus Christ. That is the dream. that Jabez is bringing to us, and I believe is to be our dream as well, and is a dream that is a dream after the heart of God himself. It's not something that you can say, well, I just made that up. It is after the will of God, and surely that's a wonderful, wonderful encouragement to dream for the kingdom and for the work of the kingdom amongst his people. It's entirely in sync with prayers like what Jesus said to his disciples. Remember in Luke chapter 10, what did he say? Lift up your eyes to the harvest. Pray that the Lord of the harvest would send laborers into the harvest, for the harvest is great and the laborers are few. Lord, there is so much to do. There are so many people who need to hear the gospel. There are so many people who need to be taught the gospel, but there are so few who see the vision to do it. So, Lord, will you lay your hand on men and women who will do that? And, Lord, yes, this is where I come into it. Lord, will you lay your hand on me so I see a vision of how I can promote and extend your kingdom's work amongst your people? And, Lord, don't be shy here, people. Lord, when I do that, Lord, give me success. Isn't it beautiful how Jabez is... I believe he's very humble here because he's not seeking it for himself. But Lord, what I'm going to do, Lord, will you lay your hand on? Will you bless? Will you give me success? Will you give me encouragement in my following of this dream to serve and work in your kingdom? Will you enable me to see results, Lord? Because at the end, it's not about us. It's not about Jabez. It's about the work of God. Secondly, firstly, it's a prayer for the vision of God's kingdom. Secondly, it's a prayer for the encouragement to do the work. Oh Lord, let your hand be on me and keep me from harm so that I will be free from pain. If we're going to serve the Lord, it's going to be difficult. I'm reluctant to speak about individual people's circumstances, but... may I share with you, and this is not me necessarily, I'm just sharing with you some facts about church pastors. You may want to know, you may not want to know. But I couldn't believe it when I read this. I know I've read about in Australia before, there are about 1,000 pastors who drop out of the ministry every year. They are replaced by young ones, but they drop out pretty quick too. So overall, in Western countries, there's a diminishing of the church because a lot of men especially are dropping out of ministry. And I thought, well, why is that? In America, 1,500 men leave the ministry every month. That has been verified by about three individual organizations like Focus on the Family. And I thought, well, why do they leave? Well, 80% rather leave because their marriages end in divorce. 50% of church pastors. I told Helen that this morning. We got one in two chance sticking together. Doesn't that shock you a little bit? Of church pastors who are currently ministering in the United States, and probably the stats are the same here, are very, very discouraged in their role. 80% of Bible college graduates will leave ministry within the first 5 years. Within the first 5 years. That's bright-eyed and bushy-tailed young men like John, when he's here, who's going to go into the ministry, that after 5 years they're gone. Because the pain. Eighty-five percent of pastors say their greatest tiredness comes from dealing with disgruntled elders. That's not me. Deacons, worship leaders, committees, and uncooperative members. And at least 70% said they feel called to ministry before they begin. After they begin, only 50% feel called. It sounded to me like Jabez. doesn't it? See, Jabez, you get the sense, is discouraged in what's going on. He's discouraged with his own effectiveness in what he is doing for the kingdom. But here's the prayer: Lord, keep me from harm. Lord, keep me so that I can promote your work. Lord, don't let me get sucked down by the issues of life so they so affect my heart that I'm no longer able to do your work for your gospel, for your people, for your glory. Lord, keep that pain level down. Now, you don't have to be a pastor. You can be in any kind of ministry, and you know there's going to be pain. If you're going to serve the Lord, there's going to be pain. There's going to be sacrifice. There's going to be suffering. There's going to be discouragement. There's going to be opposition. And so here, people, is a wonderful, wonderful encouragement as we embark on a new year. Lord, give us the vision for the gospel here in Takanini. Give us a dream for it, Lord. And enlarge this church. Make it bigger. Enlarge your territory for your kingdom. But Lord, we know that's going to be hard. We know we're going to have struggles between ourselves in doing that. And we know we're going to have struggles out there in the community. Lord, will you go ahead of us? Will you work in that? Will you, Lord, rebuke the enemy, the devil, when he would want to hinder that work? Lord, will you enable me to have a right focus, that a focus that, and here's another stat I haven't quoted here, but you know, apparently 80% of church pastors suffer from deep depression. And they're meant to be the guys who counsel other people. What a laugh. Well, it's not a laugh. It's quite a serious matter, isn't it? 80%. So, some of them, no doubt, are attacks of the devil. Because he doesn't want leaders to be encouraged. In Israel, there were no leaders at this time. The people were therefore scattered and indifferent, and there was nothing happening spiritually. And that's why Ezra's writing this to go back and say to the people, hey, God is, you know, things are at a low ebb, but we've still got our God. And see here with this man Jabez, if we cry out and if we ask for the right things in the right way, for the right motives, God will bless. And that, of course, is where we must finish it. A great dream for the gospel. A great call for encouragement to prosecute the gospel. And God answered Jabez's prayer. God loves a prayer like this, doesn't he? A prayer that calls upon God to respond to what he has begun. That says to the Lord, Lord, you made a covenant. You made a promise. You said. God loves that. God loves that. Lord, you said, now will you come? And will you bless your church? Will you pour out your spirit on it, on us today, so that we know the great blessing that Jabez knew in his day, in his time, in his place. May we pray that. May you people pray that. And as I said to you earlier, if you pray, please, for a new leader, pray that you, even now, in the meantime, amidst all the struggles and all the challenges and so on, that God would bless, God would pour out his grace upon you and upon us and through us, this community, because that's what he wants. And I believe when we do that, we will be encouraged and rejoice in our God, who is a prayer-answering, faithful God. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for letting us share this short time with your word. Lord, we're so conscious there's much we don't know about your word. But Lord, we ask that your spirit would open up our understanding, give us a desire to know more. And Lord, we pray that in this church, Lord, as we have a dream and a vision to do your gospel work in this community, so Lord, you would encourage us to do it, and you would put thoughts of grace and blessing in our hearts. And Lord, you would, even in the little things, Lord, you would enable us to see blessing. You enable us to see the results of your grace and your power at work Lord, we really, really plead for that, Lord. And we ask for our encouragement, but above all, for your glory through your Son, the Lord Jesus. Amen. We got one more song to sing. Is Mark still in the house? Thank you, Mark. Brian's going to do a solo for us.